It's a great privilege we have of being able to come and open the Word of God together. So if you have your Bibles with you, it would be helpful to turn to that passage we read in Luke 10, 38. If not, it's a short passage, and I'm sure you can remember it anyway. So what we're going to do this morning is consider a small, everyday type of incident in the family home. It involved two sisters and an unexpected visitor. And Luke 10 is the only place in the scripture where this incident is referred to. It's a type of incident you can just read it over and read straight on. In some ways, there is nothing particularly unusual about it. It's the sort of situation that could happen on any day of the week, and I'm sure that many of us could relate to. It occurred when Jesus went for a meal at a friend's house. The friends were the two sisters by the name of Martha and Mary. And they lived in the village of Bethany, which was a little under 2 miles away or outside of Jerusalem. The passage didn't actually tell us it's Bethany, but we know that from John chapter 11, because this is where the two sisters, Mary and Martha, lived with their brother Lazarus. And we know the story of how Lazarus was raised from the dead. Anyway, the story starts in our passage today in verse 38, when the Lord Jesus and his disciples came to Bethany. And we're told that Martha opened her home to him. As the passage states, Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem, probably when they came to Bethany. They're passing through. The two sisters would have not known, as far as we can tell beforehand, that this was going to happen. There were no mobile phones in those days. We know from John 11, verse 5, that Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus. These then are family friends of our Lord, where there was much mutual love and affection. So it's not surprising then that when Martha became aware that the Lord Jesus was passing through the village, that she welcomed him to lunch. Now, preparing lunch for unexpected visitors is always likely to present a challenge, isn't it? No doubt Martha wanted to do her best for her friends, so this was the time to get stuck in with energy and vigor. And furthermore, the suggestion in verse 40 is that there was a lot of work to do, because it's likely that Jesus' disciples were also invited to lunch. And if this was the case, catering for 13 chaps unexpected was no mean feat. Now, we can be sure that Martha and Mary were not just friends of the Lord Jesus, but they were also faithful disciples. It was Martha who, a short time afterwards in John 11, 35, made that tremendous statement about Jesus. Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who came into the world. A tremendous statement. Martha was a lady of faith and love for the Lord Jesus. She was a godly woman. She believed in the Lord. She delighted in him. Her sister Mary shared her passion. And she was the one who, the incident recorded when she took about a half a liter of nard or expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. She too was passionate, an all-inspiring tribute recorded for us in John 12. So both of these ladies loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. They were true, godly Christian women. They were disciples of the Lord. At a time when there were few who gave him the respect and honor that he rightly deserved. However, they were very different characters with very different personalities. It was Martha who was the driving force. It was Martha who took the initiative to invite Jesus into her home. If we look at these verses and also John 11, John 11 was the raising of Lazarus, we can see that Martha was a woman of action. She comes across as the outgoing, impulsive, strong, robust character who speaks her mind. In comparison, Mary is portrayed more as someone who is quiet and reflective, the type of person who shrinks into the background maybe, but whose love for the Lord Jesus was just as real, although shows itself in different ways. Back to the story, having welcomed and invited Jesus for lunch, Martha sets about organizing and preparing food. Now, no doubt Mary was equally pleased to have Jesus come into their home. Verse 40 seems to be quite likely that she initially helped in the task of preparing food. But then it's quite clear that she left Martha to get on with it. So she went to sit near Jesus to listen to what he was saying, to listen to his teaching. And so the scene is set. Mary is sitting and listening to Jesus. And Martha is very busy preparing the lunch. And then we're told in verse 40 that Martha was distracted by the preparations that had to be made. I think it's easy to see the scene, isn't it? To picture the scene. She was working really hard. And the time's ticking by. And she's getting more and more agitated that her sister Mary is not helping her. I'm sure we can all feel for Martha and sympathize with her. She's struggling. She's doing all the work. Why can't Mary see that she could do with some help? We are not told how long she struggled with this, but her exasperation reaches boiling point. And she can stand it no longer. And that's a point of no return. And she goes to the Lord, look at the passage, and she blurts out, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." We can only imagine the tension that must have gripped all who were there. Here is this godly, serious-minded woman, angry, accusing Jesus of not caring. Jesus, the most caring person the world has ever known. And it doesn't stop there. She follows it up by telling the Lord what to do. Tell her to help me. She doesn't even say, tell Mary to help me. Tell her then to help me. Lord, get your act together. You've got the scene. That's the passage. So what can we learn from this? There is so much. Firstly, Christians have different characters and personalities. And this is very important. It's something we need to understand and accept. Martha, if you like, is action woman. She was someone who would seize the initiative and take the lead. Someone outgoing and robust, who speaks her mind. Someone impulsive, like Peter we heard of this morning. Tends to jump into action, perhaps without forethought. Whereas Mary appears quieter and more reflective. You see the same pattern, actually, in John 11, when Lazarus died. When Jesus was coming to the house, Martha sets off to meet him. Before he can get there, as Mary stays at home. The two sisters were very different in their characters and personality. And doesn't this ring true of life? Isn't it how it is? And we should not expect all believers in the Lord Jesus to be exactly the same. By God's grace, if we're trusting in Christ, we've all been brought into his family. And as his children, we've all repented of our sin and we've trusted in him alone to save us. We all have Christ dwelling in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And so we all hold to the fundamental truths of the faith. Although in minor matters we may differ, but we should accept that. Accept that and resist the temptation to look down on one another or other Christians. And among God's people, we see all manner of characters and personalities and different ways of thinking. Some are like Mary. Some are like Martha. Some are patient. Others struggle when things are slow to happen. Some are optimists. Some are pessimists. Some are naturally timid and withdrawn. Others bolder and more courageous. Some are ambitious. Others laid back and happily let life go on. Some are decisive. Others always hesitant and unsure. Some are confident. Others insecure and unsure. Some are passionate and intense. Others placid and never seem to quite get too excited about anything. Some are full of faith. Others are prone to doubt. God's people, like all people, are different. And we see this throughout the scriptures. With the stories we have of Abraham and Jacob, Moses, Elijah, David, all of them, all different. The list could go on. We could spend all morning. It's the same in the New Testament. You know, Jesus' friends, Peter was similar to Martha, wasn't he? He was the one who jumped out of the boat and walked on the water. He's up for it. That's Martha. James and John, they were fiery characters. They were ambitious. They wanted the best place in Jesus' kingdom. Do you remember that incident? For themselves. When a Samaritan village didn't receive Jesus, they said, "Lord, call down fire from heaven on them." Two fiery characters, to say the least. Compare that with Thomas. Thomas, he struggled with doubts, but he loved Christ passionately. And it was Thomas who uttered those lovely words about his friend in John 20, "My Lord and my God." A doubter, yet a man full of faith. God didn't make us all the same. And this is something we need to accept and understand, because it may affect the way we react to different situations. It's the point I'm coming to. He knows what he's doing. God made us as he wants to and what's good for us. But we're different. Second point. Our character and personality can make us very vulnerable to particular sins. And it will be different for each one of us. Martha could have recognized that her approach was not shared by her sister Mary. The picture is one which is she's determined to provide a really nice meal for Jesus and his friends. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. What she was doing was good. Preparing food for others and serving others is good. It's a God-honoring activity. And she was anxious to do her best. A bodge job would not do for Martha. But in the circumstances, was that really the most important thing on that day and at that time? Could a simpler meal have just been fine so they could spend all more time together? And Mary didn't see it the same way as Martha. She's not that driven or impulsive type, but she's more thoughtful, more reflective. And with Jesus in the house, she sees a wonderful opportunity to spend time with the Lord. And so she's not so bothered about the food, unlike Martha, who was taken up with the need to provide a really excellent meal. And with Mary not helping, is it not surprising that Martha, with her personality, starts to get agitated? Her personality and her character make her far more likely to get annoyed and impatient with someone who is quieter and more laid back. This vulnerability is soon evident as she starts to think bad things about her sister. She even starts to think bad things about the Lord Jesus. In her eyes, the position she's in just doesn't seem right. And in her exasperation, she has a meltdown, Martha's meltdown. And she barges into the room where Jesus is teaching, confronts him. "Lord, do something. Tell her to help me." How tragic. A lovely time with Jesus ruined with a few words. Third thing we can learn from this is this. We are vulnerable all of us, when we're anxious, agitated, and upset. And we need to understand that. Whatever our character and personality, there are some situations where all of us are vulnerable. And this applies, as I said, when we're anxious and upset. This so often will colour our judgment and impact upon our ability to see reason, to think straight. And these are the times that we are most likely to question God's love for us and God's care for us. How many times have we said in our hearts, if not with our voice? How many times have we said, like Martha, Lord, don't you care? Do something. We frequently say and believe, and it's true, that God is sovereign, that he's in control. But do we really believe that when life can be sometimes so tough? Of course, we can cry out for his help. We can remind him that he's promised in 1 Corinthians 10 that he will not let us be tempted more than we can bear, and that's good. And he will provide a way out. That's good. We can pray to him. But we must remember that he knows and understands us. He knows our hearts. Hebrews 2:17 tells us he's that faithful and merciful high priest who himself suffered when he was tempted and is able to help those who are tempted. So when you are anxious, agitated, and upset, remember this, that God has told us to watch and pray so you can call on him to help you in your struggles. You see how Jesus responds to Martha, even when she's exploded in her meltdown, in upset and frustration. He does put her right. He does put her right, but in such a kind and gracious and compassionate way. He recognizes that she's upset and uptight. And he appeals to her so gently. Verse 41, Martha, Martha. Can you picture the scene? Lord, do something. Martha, Martha, listen. You're anxious and troubled. You're worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is necessary, is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. A fourth lesson we can learn is this. We need to take the warnings of Scripture very seriously. In 1 Peter 5, we are warned to be self-controlled and alert. Think of that when you're getting anxious and upset. We are warned to be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We know the verse, don't we? But do we believe it? We need to recognize the hand of Satan in the small daily things of life. He will be right behind you if you start to think bad things of others, and especially bad thoughts of God. He'll be there stirring it up. He will come up with all manner of reasons to justify your harsh words and unhelpful feelings. He will egg you on when you start moaning and complaining. 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul talks of Satan trying to outwit God's people by his evil schemes. Do we ever give a thought of how Satan tries to outwit us? How he tries to influence our thinking in the everyday things of life? What might happen tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon? When confronted with a situation that upsets us, is it not true that unhelpful thoughts are so quick to spring to our mind and emerge from within our own heart, aided and abetted by the influence of Satan? I, for one, feel great sympathy for Martha. I can imagine the struggle going on in her head. But then I can also see the influence that Satan can have upon our thinking when we find ourselves reacting in similar situations. Do you know, he has some big guns he can unleash on us.
One of his favourite ones is self-justification. That stealthily spreads like a virus to contaminate our thinking. It comes so naturally. And this can be followed by the thought that whatever we're thinking or doing is no big deal. What I have said or done was not that outrageous. It was not really that bad. It was not really that serious. See, this is how Satan gets at us. And then this can be quickly followed up by an exorcism. There were mitigating circumstances. I got it wrong. But, as soon as you say but, there's always a but, the real fault wasn't mine. Taking Martha's case, if Mary had helped me, I wouldn't have been agitated. If Jesus had told her to help me, I wouldn't have got myself into this mess. You see, our ability to excuse ourselves has so many guises. This is nothing new. Started in the Garden of Eden. Eve said, it was a serpent's fault. He tricked me. Adam said, it was a woman's fault. She gave me to eat. And you know, then Adam went even further. He then said, God, it's your fault. You give me that woman. To see how Satan perverts our thinking. Our ability to excuse ourselves is nothing new. As I said, it started in the Garden of Eden. And poor Martha does exactly the same thing. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work? Tell her to help me. To see how her thinking has been twisted. But just suppose Martha got all this frustration in her, but she said nothing. Now, still retaining all those wrong thoughts about Mary and Jesus, were going round in her heart, but it would certainly help the situation. It would certainly remove the tension that must have been evident when she confronted the Lord Jesus. But the seriousness of her sin still remains, even though she kept her mouth shut. We must never underestimate the prince of this world, the enemy of our souls. Satan is very, very subtle. He will let you store up these grievances in your heart with the assurance that no one else will see, no one else will know. Yes, of course you were justified, Martha, in your anger. How right you were in your assessment of the situation. Be assured that's the type of thing that could be going on in her mind, even if she hadn't said anything. Your secret's safe with me. Another of his lies, because God knows every thought, secret, and intent of our hearts. And repentance is necessary, whether we've said anything or not, if that was our thinking. What a terrifying enemy we have. What a daily battle we need to fight. Satan is there trying to corrupt our thinking 24/7. He doesn't go to bed. The bottom line is that we cannot cope on our own. God alone can provide us with the courage and with the strength and with the insight. So we must ask him for it. We must watch and pray. Not for nothing does Jesus tell us to pray to the Father, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. The Lord's Prayer. Do we pray that? How often does it come to our mind? We need to pray it every day. If we are to make progress in the Christian life, become mature, more like the Lord Jesus. Three things to go. I'm getting there. Five, the things of this life can distract us from the important thing. Verse 40, Martha was distracted by the food there. How easy it is to be distracted from the really important things in life.
Martha's problem began when she was over-anxious about one of the everyday events of life, preparing a meal. What she was doing was legitimate, it was good, it needed to be done, but it took a priority in her head that made her forget the real great need for spiritual food. And if we are to grow and mature as God's people, if we are to enjoy God, we need to ensure that the legitimate things of this life don't consume all our time and energy so that we neglect the most important thing of all. Yes, we need to do a good job in the workplace, be that in the home, in the office, on the factory floor, wherever. Our children need to be cared for and trained, and that will take time. Those in need need to be looked after, and we need to spend time with our husbands or our wives and our families. And it's quite legitimate to spend some time in relaxation and pleasure, enjoying the wonderful gifts God has given us in this world. The problem is that the everyday things of life can consume all our time and energy at the expense of the most important thing of all. Which leads me to my, I've got here final point, but it's not. Final point but one. One thing, six, is necessary. Six, only one thing is necessary, as it said in the verse. One thing is needed. What was Mary doing when Martha was working herself up into a tizzy? Verse 39. Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to his teaching. Listening to Jesus. To have sat alongside the Lord Jesus and hear what he was saying must have been amazing. This was the unique God-man, actually there in the flesh in Martha and Mary's home. Jesus, a man but no mere man, but a man displaying all the attributes of God in bodily form. Mary was listening to the one who was head over all things. He was the one who could speak and calm the storm we heard of this morning. He was the one who could create food out of nothing. Martha was struggling all morning to produce food. Just do it. He was the one who could heal the sick and raise the dead at his good pleasure. And sweetest of all, he is the one who could forgive sins and remove the barrier between us and God. Who wouldn't want to spend time with this man? The one thing necessary. He, the Lord Jesus, is the one who is the mighty Savior. He is the one who will banish the devil and his cohorts to eternal punishment. He is the one who is going to return one day in power and glory and majesty with all the hosts of heaven with him to establish the new heavens and the new earth. And Mary is sat at his feet, listening to him, talking to him, delighting in his presence. We too can be like Mary, not physically, but we can enjoy that wonderful sense of the presence of the God and the Lord Jesus. And that unique glory if we seek to develop our relationship with him in reading and listening to his word and in prayer. Both when we meet together, it's so important that we meet together. Don't let the devil tell you it's not important to be together. If you don't normally come this afternoon to the Lord's Supper and you're a Christian, be there. You need to be there to remember what the Lord Jesus has done. We were created to bring glory to God and enjoy him forever. We need to spend time with him. We need to come together and encourage each other to spend time with him. It's hard sometimes to pray alone. Come together and pray. Look at God's word together. Encourage and build one another up in your most holy faith. Final point. It will not be taken away. That was what Jesus said to Mary. It will not be taken away. What an encouragement it is to devote time and energy amidst the busyness of life, to know the Lord Jesus more and more, and to think comparatively less of this world. This is the thing that will put all the problems and difficulties of this life into a proper perspective. Life may be hard and difficult, perhaps especially in this time of COVID. There will be times perhaps you feel at your wit's end. There will be times of desperate sadness, of bereavement and so on. But as God's children, we can cry out to him that he would enable us to cope and live well for him in the knowledge that he is in control. He has all authority and power. He knows what he's doing. And he's promised never to leave or forsake a single one of his precious children. You and me, if we're in Christ. It is truly life transforming to know that God really does love you. When you come to the Lord's Supper this afternoon, think of it, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Doesn't that blow your brain? Jesus is risen from the dead. He's gone to prepare a place for you, believer. And one day he will take you to be with himself and to see his glory, the glory he had with the Father before the time began. That's his prayer in John 17. Fabulous riches, conformed to the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Revelation 7, God himself will wipe away the tears from our eyes. How then we need to ensure we don't pass up the opportunities to spend time with the Lord Jesus and not get distracted by things of secondary importance. And remember, tomorrow and the rest of the week, if you start to get agitated and confused, turn to Christ. Remember how the devil will try to trip you up, just as he did Martha. And finally, those here, I don't know you all, I already know, I don't think I know any of you. Any of you here who have never spent time listening to what Jesus has revealed, can I urge you to grab hold of the one thing that is essential, the one thing in life that you must have that is needed? You know, don't fill your life with anything else until you've found that sweet rest for your souls. Choose life, which is what Jesus offers you. A free gift, without money and without price. Take hold of the treasures of heaven. Why live for trinkets in this life? And go to the grave filled with unending regrets, as you were taken from God's courtroom and God's judgment and thrown from his presence. Oh, may that not be true of any of you. Be like Martha and Mary. Martha loved God. She said he was the Messiah, the Son of God. Wonderful. Mary loved God and sat at his feet and listened. How we need to do that. May God help us to do that.